You'll find information on how to support us at the end of this podcast.
Okay, we're going to talk about mysteries again. I like mysteries. But we're going to also talk about speaking in tongues. See, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it talks about the natural mind not understanding the mysteries of God. It says that the spirit of man, the unregenerated spirit of man, can't understand the things of God. The reason why is because his spirit is dead to the things of God. He's still got a live spirit, but it's unregenerated. It is out of alignment with God's spirit. Basically, the way the Lord has shown it to me is that our spirit, when we're not born again, when we don't have the Holy Spirit, our natural, unregenerated, Adamic that we received from Adam, that nature that we received from Adam, is out of alignment with the things of God, so that we can't receive the things that are freely given by God. And God is a spirit. And the Bible says in John 3, for he seeks such to worship him in spirit. He is a spirit. So the only way that we can actually hear from God on a continual basis, legitimately, is to have our spirit born again, put back into alignment and given life. And is to put on the, I suppose you could maybe even call it the same frequency as God, to speak in a natural sense. You know, in the olden days, which is only a couple of years ago, a radio that was off frequency crackled and carried on, and you could hardly hear what they were saying. And you had to get them into frequency. You had to tune it in. Really, I suppose in a parable type sense, you could say that before you're born again, your spirit is unable to receive the frequency of God. And when you're born again, when you go under that, through that water of baptism, your body is declared positionally dead. And then you receive your Holy Spirit, right? Because your spirit, your natural spirit, is made holy. It's born again. And the Holy Spirit connects with your natural spirit and speaks the things of God to you. And you receive revelation from God. Now, you might say, well then, how do people who aren't filled with the Holy Ghost, how do they get revelation from God? How do they actually hear from God to want to come along and be born again? Well, the Bible says that the only thing we can preach to an unsaved, unregenerated, dead person, spiritually dead saying, is Christ crucified. That will get the message across. God can speak to a person who is not filled with the Holy Ghost, but he doesn't have a relationship with them. He can speak to them. He can put a witness in their spirit. He can convict them through their spirit, which the spirit reveals, their unregenerated spirit reveals these things to their soulish realm, where their mind, their will, and their intellect, those three components make up your soul, your mind, your will, and your intellect. There's three parts to you as being a human being. There's your flesh, which is your body. There's your soul, which is made up of your mind, your will, and your intellect. And there's your spirit. When you are born again by water, right, and by the spirit, you are positionally dead to your flesh by going and being baptized by water. And you receive a new spirit when you are born of the spirit. And then your soul, which is neutral, your soul is neither good nor bad. It's really the makeup of what is fed by your existence. Most people feed their soul through their flesh. and they reap a corrupted soul. When they receive the Holy Spirit, they are able to have a relationship with the Father. And then they are able to pull down those things that have been strongholds in their soul, through their mind, their will, and their intellect, through the things that they have lived in their life, and replace them with truth. Because the Bible says in John chapter 3, "For God is spirit, and he seeks such to worship him in spirit and in truth." Now, God is truth, and there is no lie in him, and no shadow of turning, and he is full of light, and there is no darkness in him. And when you are revealed to the Father through the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit reveals to you the glory of God and Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, then you replace that information in your will, your intellect, and your emotions. They're replaced with godly thoughts, godly standards, and godly wisdom. The only way that you can do that is by being born again. If you are not born again, you can't receive of God. You can go to church. You can do all the religious things. You can stand up, clap, sing, sit down, sing the hymns, give money, whatever you want to do. Tell people about Jesus, who you don't have a relationship with legitimately. And really, it's just all in vain. When we are baptized by water, our flesh is positionally dead, and we walk after the Spirit. And the Spirit is to take ascendancy over the flesh. So what we do is we fast, and we put the flesh in its position, which is dead, because flesh and blood won't enter into the kingdom of heaven. Only your soul and your spirit. But your flesh is enmity against God, has no interest in serving God, and has no desire and no ability to serve God. So we fast so that we can bring our spirit into position that is ascendant over the flesh, so that it actually is head over the flesh. So in the perfect position we are to be, to have the spirit over the soul, telling the soul what to do, and the soul and the spirit ganging up on the flesh. Now, we all like ice creams, we like apple pie, and we like soft drinks, and we like nice food. But when we live in a position where the flesh dominates our position in God, we need to take action. And the best way to do that is through fasting. It positionally puts the flesh last. It tells the flesh who is boss. Because it is not the soul that wants to enforce the fasting or the position, it's the spirit. And if we give the spirit the position that it is rightfully, it is his, right? Then we are able to walk in the spirit, we're able to hear God, and we're able to receive from God the things that are freely given to us. So when we fast, we do not move God. What we do is we move ourselves into position to hear from God. God doesn't need moving. He's already in place waiting. He can't wait to get a relationship with us. But we need to get the flesh out of the way. So when we fast, we don't move God. We move the flesh into its rightful position, which is last. You'll find that in Isaiah 59, where it says, "Hide not thyself from thy flesh." One of the things that can bring us into that position is praying in tongues. Now, praying in tongues will give us revelation. Revelation of the deficiencies in our life, and revelation of the benefits that we already have. And it will set things in motion. What will happen is the Holy Spirit, when you're praying in tongues, will bring things to your remembrance, will bring things to your mind, through your soulish through your will, your intellect, your mind, and reveal those things, because that's where you live. You live in your soul. So the Holy Spirit will say to you, you know that ought you've got against your brothers? Do you know that that's stopping you from receiving from God? Do you know that thing you've got with your father, who never took you fishing when you were younger, and you've held that grudge against him all those years? Do you know that God can't really give you all the things that are freely given to you, because you are put yourself in a position where you are unable to receive from God because of your unbelief and because of your unforgiveness? And you've given opportunity for the enemy to gain a foothold in your life. So if you will allow me, I will take this from you effortlessly. So you allow the Holy Spirit to take it from you, and Jesus heals that inner part of you because you've forgiven those things. Now you may find that you're not praying a lot. You're watching TV, you're doing other things, you're going fishing or whatever you want to do, but other activities are eroding into your prayer life. And the Holy Spirit will say, if you will spend more time with me, then I will reveal to you the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, and I will show you things that you have never seen. And you make that decision, and then the Holy Spirit, because your will is paramount, God will never go against your will. It is your will that stops you from receiving God. It is your will that stops you from receiving the fullness that God has for you. But if you allow God to do the things and to take and to be, well, as Christians say, Lord over your life, and not you Lord over your life, then you'll find your life will start to fall into a smooth operation, that things will happen, doors will open. Now, of course, the enemy comes against us and tries us and causes us problems. He tries to throw sickness on us, tries to throw turmoil on us. He tries to throw greed. He tries to throw envy, anger, all of these things. But we overcome them by the renewing of our mind. And the way that we renew our mind is through revelation that's given to us by the Holy Spirit. You'll find a lot of Christians that have not a renewed mind is because they haven't sown to the Spirit, they've sown to the flesh. And they're walking in their flesh, and their flesh is feeding their soulless realm, and the soulless realm only knows the things of the flesh. But when the Holy Spirit takes ascendancy over their life, and they start to become a disciple, which is a disciplined one, and they discipline their life, you'll find that they walk in a holiness, a blessed life, and that miracles start to operate in their life. Of course, as I say, the enemy does come, and he tries to withstand us. But we withstand him through the power of God which is inside us. Sometimes we break the enemy off of us quickly, and sometimes not so quickly. That's where the patience has to have its perfect work. And on patience, we operate faith, knowing that eventually we will break free of the enemy by prayer, by commanding, by knowing the promises and taking hold of the promises that are in the Bible for us. Because through those precious promises, we fight a good warfare against the enemy. And the revelation keeps coming. We pray in tongues and we receive revelation. One of the things that is pretty important is actually understanding revelation. It says in 2 Peter chapter 3:15, it says, "An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, all as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Without understanding the scriptures, without understanding the perfect will of God, it would be very difficult to walk in the Lord. If you read your Bible and meditate on the Word, pray in tongues and fast, you'll find that you'll have a pretty easy walk. You throw in worship, private worship, where you exalt the name of God, where you lift up high the name of Jesus in your own private worship, where you tell Him how much you love Him, you tell Him how much you appreciate your salvation according to the scriptures, then you'll really, really start to hum. You go back, we'll just go to another scripture here. Okay, it says, we'll go to Colossians 1:25. Okay, it's chapter 1, verse 25. It says, "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints." If you're a saint, that means if you're born again, you're a saint. And these mysteries can be made manifest. It says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you." That's one of the things, the mystery that God wants to get across to you, is Christ in you. If you can understand who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, all the benefits that you have by being in Christ, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I am also a laborer, striving according to his works, which worketh in me mightily. If you want the mysteries, if you want the mysteries of Christ in you, through you, then you pray in tongues, and you will have what it says in 29. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working. So you can strive, but striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. That's a key verse. Okay, if we go to Ephesians chapter 3, it says, verse 1. It says, For this case, I, Paul, prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the age of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation, so that's how he did it, by revelation, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. All of the epistles that he has written, he wrote them through the revelation that Jesus, that the Holy Spirit gave to him through Jesus Christ. So Jesus gave information to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit revealed it to him. It's the Holy Spirit's job to reveal Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is not sent to reveal of himself, but to reveal Jesus Christ. And when you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit assists you to work out the revelation, to receive the fullness of God through the mind of Christ, through revelation knowledge. It says in verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I write before in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So how did you do that? Well, the Holy Spirit revealed to him mysteries by him praying in tongues. He knew all the Old Testament. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees under a great teacher, Gamaliel. He would have known all of the prophets. He would have known all of the Old Testament. He would know all of Psalms. And while he's praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit would say to him, you know that scripture in Psalms? You know that connects in Genesis? Do you know that this in another part of the scripture connects with that? And he came up with a whole lot of amazing things. You'll find that in the Bible, in the New Testament, he says, the Lord has given me this mystery to reveal it unto you. He said, this is a mystery. It's a mystery to those who don't have the understanding. When you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit reveals the mysteries to you. The thing is that he said in verse 4, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So the Holy Spirit revealed the mystery to him, in him, who he is, who Jesus is, who the Father is, and what the Father wants, and how to receive from the Father through Jesus Christ, by energized by the Holy Spirit, all the positions of the Godhead and how they all work together, how God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit operate, and how that they are they operate independent but together, how they are together called God but separately individually called the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is a great mystery. There's mysteries Paul speaks about the church. He says this is a great mystery concerning Jesus Christ and the church, and he reveals it through the marriage of husband and wife. And then also he speaks about in Thessalonians about the mystery that we shall not all sleep. How did he receive that? He received it through revelation, through the Holy Spirit, by speaking in tongues. How did he receive the Holy Spirit mysteries of the two Adams? The first Adam and the second Adam being Jesus Christ. How did he receive the mysteries that are spoken about in Hebrews? How that if you read Hebrews, people understand, the unlearned understand that it's all about the law and about the Spirit. But really, it's all about our priesthood. Hebrews is all about our priesthood. How that we are kings and priests. And how we are to operate in this. If you read verse in Hebrews, the first couple of chapters, it talks about the rest. And it alludes back to the Old Testament, where Joshua and Caleb went into the land of Canaan, but they were the people that were with them in the beginning. They wouldn't go in because of their unbelief. They couldn't enter into the land of Canaan because of their unbelief. And God swore in his wrath. If you understand that Hebrews is telling us how to enter into that land of Canaan, or enter into the holiest of holies, so that we can have relationship with the Father, because the Father seeks such to have a relationship with. Jesus, when he came to earth as a child, who grew up as a man and took on his ministry, he didn't come to reveal himself. He came to reveal the Father, because the Father sent Jesus to bring us unto him through by the cross. There are great mysteries in the Bible that not many people seem to hear or understand because they don't pray in tongues, because the enemy has stopped them. It says in 5, it says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, and us as well, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace, the free unmerited favour of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. What does that mean? The effectual working of his power. If you pray in tongues enough, God, the Holy Spirit, will reveal what the effectual working of his power is. I'll tell you, when you start When you start praying in tongues, you start shifting a lot of things out of the way. When you start fasting and you bring yourself into a position where the Spirit takes ascendancy, then you will start to feel His effectual working of His power. The Holy Spirit, once you give the Holy Spirit His rightful place, your spirit, your born-again spirit, right? Once you give that rightful place, because you're a spiritual being now, operating in a spiritual realm with precious promises, and when you operate in the Spirit, you will start to operate in the effectual working of His power. But you know, I can tell you this 1,000 times, and to you it's only academic. It is only in your soulish realm, your mind, your will, and your intellect. But once your spirit has a revelation of the effectual working of His power, you're locked in, and no one can take that from you. You know, people can tell other people that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. They can tell Him that He died on the cross and that He rose again on the third day, and they can quote all the scriptures in the Bible perfect, but unless they have a revelation of Jesus Christ through the Holy Ghost, it's academic, and that's all it is, and that's all it will stay, is academic. When a person receives the Holy Spirit, is baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost and speaks in tongues, they are supposed to have a revelation of Christ in them. Do you notice that some people who are filled with the Holy Ghost don't understand what they've got because they don't have a revelation of Jesus Christ inside them? It has to be brought out through the revelation of the Holy Ghost. You get them speaking in tongues and they'll start to understand. There are people who are filled with the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, and for many, many years they know it's of God, but they know nothing about it. Many, many people I speak to, they've gone to a church. The church have put their hand on them, prayed over them. They received the Holy Spirit and they left them and walked off without them even understanding what they got, what they received. They didn't pray in tongues from that moment on, and 10 years or 20 years goes by. They know that God's real, they know Jesus Christ's real, but they don't understand any of it, because they don't have a revelation. You get them speaking in tongues, and a nuclear bomb goes off inside their soul with revelation of who Jesus is in us, through us. Speaking in tongues is a very powerful thing. In verse 8 it says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." You can't. You can't search them out through all the reading of all the Bible unless you have a revelation. That's one of the keys that you'll find, that a church who walks in power and soundness of doctrine, you'll find that after the second or third even generation, they turn back into a religious organization. The reason being is because the ones that they have come up through the ranks, the next generation, have not received. They've received the soundness of doctrine, and they've received the operation of the church, but they haven't received the revelation of the doctrine. So they can preach the doctrine, they can uphold the doctrine, they can uphold the operation of the church and how it works, because it was set up by the founding fathers, who have had a revelation and understanding and why this doctrine was effectual. But they didn't have that revelation in the second generation. Because of that, they become religious. And the next generation gets worse and worse. Each generation needs to have a fresh revelation of that doctrine and how, why the church is established in that way. Because without that, the church runs to a halt. That's why people become spiritually dead. In a church that is well run and has soundness of doctrine, they know all the soundness of doctrine, but they don't understand why and why it works. They don't understand the reasoning behind the doctrine. why it was set up. They don't understand about the theology because they don't have a revelation. And that's where religion, and that's where the devil comes in, and he is quite happy to sit and wait for the next generation. He can stop them speaking in tongues. If he can stop them receiving that revelation, then he's got them. And they'll go no further. And that's why we always say, well, the next generation don't seem to pick up from the next one. Churches only seem to go for only two or three generations and die. It's because we don't even understand about the revelation of Jesus Christ. We need to walk in revelation, and that is instigated by speaking in tongues. Now, revelation comes through other things. It comes through reading the Word, because you're spirit-filled. But speaking in tongues brings the hidden things behind the words. It makes the words alive. Revelation is what runs the New Testament church. Revelation is how we walk. We don't walk by formula. Formula is, this is what our founding fathers did. This is how they set the church up and how it's to run. These are the scriptures that we use to prove our doctrine. But we don't have a clue what they mean, because we don't have a relationship with the Father through the Son, by the Holy Spirit, through revelation, speaking in tongues. Why? Because the founding fathers didn't push on the need for speaking in tongues. Or they did, and not everybody was diligent enough to have their own prayer life. So you get a slow dying, individually and collectively, the whole church. And the next generation, less people pray in tongues, receive the revelation, the next generation, and so on. You only really need two or three generations for a church to just turn into a religious, dead piece of wood that is going to be spewed out of God's mouth when he returns. God speaks about that in Revelations. He talks about the church where he says he'll spew them out of his mouth. He says that for them to buy eyesight. So they're to get a refreshed revelation by the Holy Spirit. Why? So that they can walk in relationship with the Father and not through numbers. And not through just doing things the way that they were taught. God is fluid. His word stands and it will never move. But God is fluid. He is alive. He's not in ritual. He's not in religious movements. He's not in standing up, sit down, stand up, clap, clap. If you don't clap right, clap, you're in trouble. If you don't stand up, if you don't stand and put yourself in a position, then you're in trouble. If you don't do it exactly the way we say you should do it, we don't know why, but you should do it that way anyway because we all do it, you're in trouble. You're religious. When you end up walking in a church that does things through formula, sit down, sit down, and there is no Holy Spirit movement, you're in big trouble. Because God wants order in his church, but the Holy Spirit is quite capable of keeping order in people who are switched on to the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we'll just go to another, another scripture, and we'll go to Romans chapter 8, verse 25. It says, "But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself," the Spirit is not a it, right? Okay, it's a him. This is talking about, okay, we can go into that later. "Maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." And he, who's that? The Spirit, "he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit." King James got it all messed up with the big S and little S in this whole chapter. you need to go through and check all of it, because when it talks about in chapter 7, it talks about the natural spirit and then goes on to talk, it differentiates between our natural spirit and the Holy Spirit. And King James didn't quite get the S's right in that, but that's okay, that's another lesson. Likewise, in Acts 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's intercession. You know, the Holy Spirit will search you and find out what you need to be able to get rid of, to fix up, shore up, and to mend, or what is troubling you and how to fix that up. The wisdom will float to the top into your soulless realm and how to operate in great wisdom. You know, the Bible talks about, in Proverbs, about wisdom. It says that her, it's a she, that she has hewn her 7 pillars. Do you know, in the New Testament, it says that wisdom is a spirit, the spirit of wisdom, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes on 7 different attributes. And in the Old Testament, in Proverbs, it talks about the 7 pillars of wisdom. Now, I won't go into that, it's another talk, but it talks about a woman up on high, on most high, and one on high. So there are 2 types of wisdom. There's the wisdom of the world, and the wisdom from up on most high, which is the wisdom that is from heaven. That's the wisdom that we need to seek, and not the wisdom that is on high, where it talks about in Proverbs. And if you read them in chapter 7, 8, and 9, they mirror each other. So whatever God comes up with, the devil will come up with his wisdom, his counterfeit operation, to try and trick unsuspecting saints who are not walking in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, so we'll just go to another scripture. Okay, we'll go to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." If you're praying in tongues and receiving revelation from God, and you're receiving revelation saying that, you know, you need to get rid of this, put this in place so that you can hear God. One of the key things you can use to hear God's voice is fasting. It places the spirit in a position of dominant so that you can hear his voice. And it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We really want to be in the perfect will of God every time, all the time, 24/7. If we hit the acceptable, well, that's acceptable. And the perfect will of God is what we really want. The good, well, that's just scraping in. There are a lot of saints who ain't even doing the good. There will be a reward for the good and for the acceptable. But you know, Paul, he pressed towards the mark of the high calling for the perfect will of God. And if you're smart and you understand that your prize is when the Lord comes back and not on this earth, that if you are smart and you receive revelation by praying in tongues, you will press towards the mark of the high calling for the perfect will of God. And you will forsake everything in this world for the prize that is set before you, because you will have revelation of the marvelous and glorious, wonderful treasure that is waiting you at the end of your life or when Jesus comes back. Okay, we'll just go to another scripture here. Might go to Hebrews 13. verse 5. It says, by him, wherefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. How do you do it continually? By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, so this is what it is, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. When we pray in English, we give thanks to him. But you know, when, there's only so many words you can say to God. You know, if you really run out of words, praying in tongues all the time. When I'm riding my motorbike, I'm praying in tongues. I'm driving my car, I'm praying in tongues. When I'm mowing the lawn, I'm praying in tongues. When I'm walking down the street, I'm quietly praying in tongues. I pray in tongues a lot. But you know, it's natural for me. It's natural for me because it's part of me. It's who I am. It's what I do. It brings revelation. Once you start to realize that you tap into this well of information, of revelation of God and who he is and the prize that's set before you, you won't stop. The enemy will try to stop you through your soulish realm. You'll get bored. You'll just get your mind will wander or whatever. But these things are to overcome. Once you break through these realms, then it's just clean sailing. Okay, so we might just go to one more scripture. We'll go to Romans 16:25. It says, now to him that is of power. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandments of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Right, to God, the only wise and glorious and glory through Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. How did Paul establish his gospel? Through the revelation of Jesus Christ. By praying in tongues. He said, I thank my God, I pray in tongues more than you all to the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church was a massive church. So he reckoned he prayed in tongues more than all of them collectively. That's a lot of praying. That's a lot of praying in tongues. That's a lot of revelation. And he was able to write 3/4 of the books in the New Testament through the revelation of Jesus Christ through praying in tongues. Do you wonder why the devil wants people to stop praying in tongues? Do you wonder why you don't want to pray in tongues? It's because the enemy is on your back trying to get you to do other things. If you're pressed towards the mark of the high calling, if you'll put the flesh down, you'll find that a little bit of fasting, sometimes, you know, doing long fast can be very hard, but serious fasting is probably just as powerful. One day on, one day off, one day on, one day off. You can do that for months and you will just knock the flesh on the head and you will receive power. Okay, so we'll go to one more scripture, Proverbs 20, verse 5. It says, counsel in the heart of men is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. A man of understanding will draw it out. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Do you know, Bible talks about we have a great well inside us. We have rivers of living water flowing out of us that we can water all those around us by revelation that we have drawn from the well of salvation. That we've drawn from the well of revelation through speaking in tongues. So look, we'll leave it there. just understand that speaking in tongues is something that everybody should press towards. I pray in tongues about 3 hours a day. Sometimes I'll pray even longer. Basically, what I'll do is I'll pray for a couple of hours, then I'll worship for an hour, and then pray for another hour. And I'll do that day after day after day after day. And, you know, worship brings the presence of God. It brings the glory of God into the presence of you, in a geographical presence. You know, when you start worshiping God, when you start saying, I love you, Jesus, I love you, I thank you, I thank you for being my high priest. I worship your name, I bow my knee unto you, for you are King of kings and Lord of lords. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming and teaching me and bringing me unto all truths and guiding me and leading me. And in you there is no lie, but there is only truth. And you have shown me Jesus Christ, and Jesus is my high priest to bring me unto the Father and his love. If you start speaking all of these things and the precious promises that are in the Bible, you start reminding, you're not reminding God, you're reminding yourself. You're ministering to God and yourself. You start worshiping, and you start worshiping through your soul. That's your mind, your will, and your intellect. All of a sudden, your spirit will take over, and you will be worshiping, and this, it will be like prophesying to God. You will move into a realm of the spirit, and the presence of God will move into the geographical area of you where you're standing in a room. And if you've got 7 or 8, 20 or 30 or 100 people doing the same thing, then the presence of God fills the room and the glory of God comes down. We sing all the time about this, but we never really experience it because we really don't know how to worship. But when you start worshiping, you can worship at home. When you start worshiping, you will bring the presence of God. Speaking in tongues brings revelation, but worshiping brings presence of God. So by praying in tongues, it will give you a revelation that how to worship. You pray in tongues and God will show you, the Holy Spirit will show you how to worship. And then you start worshiping, and you'll find God will turn up, and you can create an open heaven in your house. What's another story about open heavens? I use open heavens a lot to get healings. When people come to my house, we worship for a couple of minutes. We bring the presence of God into the atmosphere, charge the atmosphere with the power of God. We put our hands on the people, and they get healed. How easy is that? And we'll leave it at that, okay?
So if you'd like to partner with Don and I and help support us, just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.